Next on BYUSN, BYU comes up short in a back-and-forth game against Texas Tech. Was this one that got away from the Cougars? Does BYU need a go-to guy to emerge ASAP? And when will we see Yegor Devin and Dallin Hall's roles and production elevate?
Plus, we're going to react to Kevin Young's post-game comments about what went wrong and the need to bounce back quickly against TCU. And the AP All-Bowl team is out this morning. One Cougar made the cut for his performance against Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. But was he snubbed from another award?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, January 8th. I am Jerem Jordan. He is apology tracker Dave McCann.
Let's start with Elton John, who's saying sorry seems to be the hardest word. For University of Utah Athletic Director Mark Harlan, there was no sorry after his postgame rant when BYU beat the Utes up there 22-21. Well, that apology has now surfaced, at least kind of. Deseret News reporter Joe Coles with an exclusive with Harlan. It was published last night, and he said he wasn't a great example in that moment and needs to do better. Talking about his post-game behavior and what he said. Coles reports that he called Kalani, he called Tom Homo, he called Brett Yormark to apologize.
The next day, I think, right?
At some point, yeah, when all that happened. I don't know why he waited 2 months to actually just come out and say what he said, but he said it, and you can read more about it in the Deseret News. But he gets it done a week and a few days before BYU's basketball team goes to Utah. And that's going to be an emotional night with the return of Chris Burgess and Kaba Keita and the fact that it's BYU rolling up there really for the first time since the end of the Utah game. So Harlan said, hey, shouldn't have been, I should have been better. He should have been better. Shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have said that. And now he's done, apologized, and we move on.
I was hoping that Utah actually returned that last kickoff for a touchdown. Because Mark had wandered onto the field and got a flag, they would have had to bring it back.
You were looking for just one more.
Yeah, just one little more.
Dagger in the ribs.
You're right. Took a minute, but it did happen. And in the end, hey, these two brothers play in the same league now, and we're going at it. And, hey, basketball is the next step. So let's go, man. Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Disappointed. Disheartening. Frustrating. Not good enough.
The game is over. So BYU, season low in threes made. The Cougars undoing.
We have to learn from this quickly. We know we're a really good team. We have our best basketball ahead of us, but we got some things we got to sharpen up and do it ASAP.
Shout out to the editors. When you go black and white cuts like that, it looks like a horror film. I mean, and there were elements of horror last night.
Very appropriate.
As BYU falls to Texas Tech 72-67 in a game where BYU shot a season low 21% from three, 57% from the free throw line. Dave, it feels like this was one that got away from the Cougars. What do you think?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it was there for the taking, but they didn't do what's required to take it, like hit free throws, miss nine, breakdowns defensively, especially in crunch time, the last 5 minutes. Offensive board still gave up too many to Texas Tech. And what I'm seeing over these last two games, and it might be a giant overreaction because there's 17 more to play in the Big 12, but we're seeing a new coach, a new staff, a new roster still trying to figure it out while they're playing teams that have. I mean, Texas Tech knew what they were. They knew who to go to at the end, and they did, and that's how they stole one, a huge one on the road. Not many teams are going to win.
Wait, after the Mark Harlan comments, we're saying Texas Tech stole one?
They earned it, right? Okay, they earned it, but they grabbed a win most teams don't come and get because they know who they are. And I think that's – and we discussed it this morning, and I think everyone in Cougar Nation is – This basketball team's got all the talent in the world, talented staff. They're just not sure who they are, or at least they had an idea, but they've been rattled the last two games. And now it's kind of like, who are we going to be? Who's going to shoot? Who's going to throw it in? Who's going to double team when I need double team help? Yeah. And I thought we saw an absence of that last night. That's how you lose.
It's tough because BYU's coming off of a 31-point loss at Houston where they were just run out of the gym and Houston was way better. This was not that. This was a different kind of loss, one that BYU should have won. In the Marriott Center, for BYU to shoot 22%, 21% at home is weird and different and an anomaly. I don't like keep saying, you know, hey, Houston game anomaly, this anomaly. Well, you start to have patterns, right? You can't go 5 of 23 at home in the gym where you practice often, and you should shoot better, right? BYU should shoot better.
And they're not a lockdown defensive team. They're not Houston, right?
Those shots, Texas Tech,
those shots same as last night were open shots.
Yeah, they, like BYU, the BYU offensively, I thought, got in great spots, especially early in the game. They were getting at the rim. They were getting fouled. They were getting to the free throw line. They were getting open looks. It's tough when Yegor Demin misses 21 straight threes. Like, I doubt he's ever done that in his life. Like, in practice, in any games, like, this is the crazy streak. He ends it at the very end of the game.
Dave. A streak that started Thanksgiving, right? 21 over this.
Yes, the end of the Ole Miss game to the end of this game. He didn't hit a three, which is crazy. Like, he's got a good-looking stroke. He came in from Real Madrid with, like, 33% three-point shooter. He was shooting 52% a couple games in. That was weird. BYU was getting to the basket. They were getting to the line. They were getting open looks. Didn't happen. Like, just a quiet night from BYU. BYU does not have as many shooters as they had last year. That is evident. What they have more is NBA potential, length, athleticism. We were hoping that would translate into a different version of BYU that would still continue to win. Yeah. Last year, we were talking about BYU number one, top five in net, making a lot of threes a game. This team still makes a lot of threes a game, too. But the lack of kind of amount of shooters, I think, is evident. But last night, BYU very well could have and should have won that game. Texas Tech, it's a one-point game with 5 minutes left, and they knew what to do. They knew where to go. BYU had taken Texas Tech out of their stuff to some degree. I know Texas Tech, like, became that great shooting team, the elite shooting team last night. But BYU was doing a great job. JT Toppin averaged 18 and 10. He had 5 and 0 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, they took the best player out. But Darian Williams was amazing. They threw the ball on him. More on kind of the go-to guy in a minute for BYU. This is a tough one. You have to make up for it now because that's a game you should have won at home. BYU doesn't have a quad one game win yet. That's a concern. You got to stack good wins. BYU will. Like you said, 17 games left. Don't want to overreact. But also, there are issues that need to be addressed on this team. Yet, last night, you're this close. And I've talked about it on the show. Losers talk about margin. Winners just talk about winning.
Yeah.
It's tough because BYU could have won that game. I think they now need to beat TCU Saturday to make up for it. And in BYU's two road games we've seen so far this year, Providence and Houston, they have not even competed in those games. You can't just compete Saturday. I think BYU has to go and win that game.
We're in this space of expectation versus last year where there wasn't any. It was just surprise.
Yes.
Hey, I just can't believe number one in the
wow.
net. What?
Yep.
And then they just kept going.
Yep.
And they surprised all these teams along the way. Well, now there's not a surprise. In the scouting report, it's watch out for those NBA guys. And here's what they're trying to do on offense. And here's what they're doing on defense. And these better teams line up with just as good of players and that are a little more experienced or whatever and you know, 0-for-2 in those kind of matchups. Pounded Arizona State. But Richie Saunders had his 30 in that one, and that was kind of the difference maker. In these last two games, there hasn't been anyone over 12.
Foose with 14 last night.
14.
So no one got to 15. And
so there's this level of expectation versus non-expectation. That's why we're disappointed.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We rolled through it with football. And last year was this, and then this past season was so much of a surprise. We had a great time from start to finish.
How do we have no expectation, I guess?
Basketball, and I don't know what's worse. If you don't have any expectation, that arena isn't full. And people aren't
right.
paying for those kind of seats.
And A.J. DiBonsa doesn't come to BYU.
Right. And Xavier Staten doesn't come to BYU.
Yes.
All this stuff.
Yes.
So expectation and disappointment is better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's programs close to us that have no expectation
right.
this year.
Right.
And so there's no hope. There's no excitement. There's nobody in the seats.
No buzz.
So we're in that spot. But here's what Kevin Young said last night after the game.
I mean, really two areas, shot making and defensive execution. You know, we started 1-10 from three. We ended up 12-21 from the free throw line. It's tough to come back from those kind of shooting numbers. And then, you know, even with that being said, you know, had a chance to win at the end, and then defensive execution was poor. You know, we were trying to get the ball out of Williams' hands. He's a good player, but, you know, wish we could have executed that a little bit better.
Well, this is a guy who doesn't like to lose. You watch his demeanor and all that stuff. But at the same time, he's learning how to do this
right.
in the college level with college kids in this kind of environment. And it's just going to take some time. We hate that, but it's just going to take some time.
Yeah, I think because BYU's schedule wasn't strong enough in the non-con, and Kevin Young and others have said, hey, we wish we could have added like two or three more competitive games there. This is sort of where BYU's experiencing now what they should have probably in middle of December of like, okay, if this team does this, what do we do? how to, who's our, who's this, who's that. They're still figuring out things, which we'll start to address here.
Right. And so even already next year, what, November 3rd? Unofficially, they play Villanova in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's a game that shows you on November 3rd what you have to work on before you get to December 31st.
They're going to make up for the games they didn't play this year, next year, and some with AJ. Yeah.
Might be an overcorrection of the wheel, right. but it's coming, right. Which is exciting. So on the show yesterday, it was discussed that Yegor Damon and Dallin Hall struggles together on the court. Last night, there's flashes of getting it right, but what level of concern do you have about these two figuring out how to play the point guard at the same time almost on the floor?
I'm concerned because they haven't had a ton of games together. I think it's six now. Yeah. But they're the engine, the QBs of the offense. And Yegor, obviously, as a 6'9 point guard from Real Madrid with lottery projections, certainly should have a massive role on BYU's team. But what I don't want it to do is dilute or affect the confidence and usage of Dallin Hall, because Dallin Hall was one of the best players BYU had on a very good team last year. Yep. And it feels like Dallin's kind of playing second fiddle there and doesn't know when to insert himself. So last night, what did Kevin Young do? He changed the rotations. He made it so they didn't play on the court as much together, so they could kind of, when you're on the court, Yegor, you've got the ball in your hands, you're running the show. When Dallin, you're in, so he played Yegor just a little less and Dallin just a little more. It didn't make a massive impact. Dallin Hall had 6 points all in a row in a short amount of time, didn't score after that. And I believe just had just like one assist. Yeah, Yegor had 6 assists. He continues to have 6 or 7 assists, which is good. But yeah, they're still figuring that out together. And Kevin Young said this week, they've just got to play better. Certainly they do. I want them in the 20-point, 10-assist range combined. They need to lead this BYU team together, and it hasn't quite clicked yet. I'm hoping it does soon.
I thought when Hall had his 6-point run, and then there was a timeout, I think he got a chest bump from Kevin Young.
He came way out, right?
Because that's what he wants out of him. He so badly wants him to give me this fire.
Like, and it was
okay, did the light come on? And then, as you mentioned, there was nothing after that.
Yeah.
And that's really the challenge of this team, right? It's like they're a team waiting for the light to come on. And who's going to be in charge? And
you got to go turn the light on.
Yeah.
Who's going to turn it on for you?
That's the thing. And whoever does is going to be the man.
Yeah.
But that man hasn't shown up yet. And I think that's kind of the surprise. And I think that's where you see the frustration in execution at certain points. It's like, no, you shoot. No, you shoot. No, you shoot. I'm going to make the extra pass because I don't want to shoot. But in a dead possession where you miss the shot or don't get the shot off, then you head back to the floor and you're going, what are we doing? And I think that's the frustration of the staff, because they work all week on, here's what we're doing. And then when pressure comes, you're still waiting for that light. Thought Richie Saunders' light was going to go on there. He had 30 against Arizona State, but he comes back with 9 and 6. So whoever can just do it consistently back-to-back might become the man, right? Okay, you've done it 2 times in a row or maybe 3. 5 seconds on the shot clock, we're going to you. Or we got to have a point. Foos, we're going inside to you. And that leads us to our topic about how concerned we are about a go-to guy.
Yes.
Do they need a go-to guy right now? And the fact that they don't have one, is that more alarming than can Hall and Demon figure it out together on the court?
It's all alarming because now you're 1-2 in league and you're going on the road where you haven't done well. It's kind of a 50-50 according to KenPom. I think it is an issue. I'll tell you who I want it to be. I want it to be Cannon Catchings.
Yeah.
I want it to be Cannon Catchings because Yegor Demon and Dallin Hall, while certainly they need to score more and facilitate, if Cannon Catchings is the guy, it's nice and easy. He's a wing guy that doesn't have to facilitate. He can score. If you say go out there and score, like in catch and shoot, Cannon Catchings is the man. He's getting downhill a little more, which is nice, being a little more aggressive. We saw this kind of stuff last night, which was great. Got to the free throw line a few times. Fortunately, BYU struggled there. He blocks the ball like LeBron against the Warriors in Game 7 type stuff sometimes, which is fun. No one can stop him when he gets downhill. I want it to be Cannon Catchings. I want him to be like 16 a game guy. It's like 10 a game guy right now. I want that light bulb to go off and for him to be the guy. Is it too much to ask freshmen who are lottery pick or NBA potential guys to do this? Because they're young, The Big 12's tough. All this is new. Yet they're very talented.
Yeah.
I don't know where to sort of land on what's fair to expect in terms of what you brought up, which is expectations affect excitement, disappointed relative to result.
If you choose that, it's like playing a freshman quarterback. If you choose that, then you've got to accept everything that comes with it.
Who else
trusting
would it be
that
if
it will become?
Right. If it's not Cannon or it's not Yegor, is it fair to ask Dallin Hall to be that guy? Because you're not. Is it Richie Saunders? Richie feels like he's your good number two or three, right? Yeah. Asking him to be the leading scorer, which he is on this team, by the way, right now.
Right.
Is
What's
that
crazy?
Fair?
There's a long list because, let's see, Baker's had his nights. Nell's had his nights. Catching's had his nights.
Foose led last night.
Foose right now is the go-to guy. We saw that last night where it's like, we're just throwing it to you and watch and see what you do.
Literally, no one really moves, by the way. I need a little more cutting there.
Yeah, and so Foose is the guy. He can score at the rim. He's very good at that, but he's limited with his range.
Yep.
He also makes his free throws better than anybody on the team.
He was kind of going through a tough spot.
Missed
now.
A couple last night. Yep. He never misses, but he did. And so if there's a go-to guy, it's right here. The problem is Foose is 6'5 with a big wingspan, and they pack it in on him. And if he puts the ball down on the floor, those fast hands slap it away. And then it's got to come back out to the next guy, right? So right now it's Foose. I really would love it to be Demon because he's 6'9 and can do all those things. But he's got to get the lid off the basket.
Yes.
That has to come off, or you can't be the guy. You can't shoot all those and miss them all and still be the guy. And I think it'd be easiest if it was him.
And certainly, I think he and Dallin should be the leaders of this team.
And it might not be fair to put it on Demon. I'd just like to see him be it.
Or is it because he's projected lottery?
Right.
Like, it's hard to kind of balance this. You know who we're going to expect that to be next year in terms of best player and leader is A.J. DiBonta.
Right.
We're going to say,
fair or not, we expect it to
be. He needs to be 18 a game plus, right? And you immediately throw that expectation on him. And that'll be interesting to watch. Okay, our question of the day is this. What's your biggest takeaway from BYU's loss to Texas Tech last night? Blue Coug Troy on X says, talent doesn't equal winning immediately. Coach Young is still adjusting to coaching at the college level. BYU's lacking a finisher. Yeah, that's another word for go-to guy. Last night it was Foose. We'll see who it is in the future. It felt like Foose had the hot hand, therefore he got that opportunity. I would say for the season, not necessarily Foose. For the season, I don't know who it is.
Right. And I don't think they do either.
Against Ole Miss in overtime. Well, against Ole Miss, they were trying to get Foose the ball at the end.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out, unfortunately, and then didn't really score that much in OT and lost that. Wasn't overly concerned or disappointed by that loss. But now you look at BYU's resume right now, and again, it's still early. Surprised BYU doesn't have a quad one win. You're going to try and get that in the Big 12, and certainly BYU's going to have a bunch of those, so we'll see. At C4 Cougs on X. You're not making free throws and layups is a huge issue. We're not going to win games if you can't make the easy buckets. That was surprising last night because it's not like there was some rim protector that was preventing this for BYU. Free throws and shots at the rim. You make just four or five more of those, different game.
Yeah.
And that's the controllable part. Like, you tip your hat to Texas Tech. They came into Provo and snapped BYU's 14-game home win streak. BYU should have won that game. Make some free throws.
I've got an article in the Deseret News later today talking about what we saw in the last couple of games. And I went back to the 1976 Heinz ketchup commercial.
Okay.
Where it's the bottle of ketchup has taken so long for it to come out, and the music is Carly Simon's Anticipation. And the voiceover going, hey, just imagine how good it's going to be when it finally gets here. And that's kind of what we're seeing.
Sure.
It's just going to take some time. And we don't like to spend a lot of time
waiting. Is it taking more time than we thought? A little bit.
I
thought maybe, I don't know, four or five games ago it kind of clicked. But, yeah, once it clicks, I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
When the light comes on.
And BYU was bright. This close last night, even though they played poorly. What if BYU plays – if BYU played just okay last night, I think they win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Defensively, I thought they were pretty good.
If they make six more free throws.
Right? Not late in the second half. But they held Texas Tech under all those numbers. That they were good at. Okay, continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Another game tonight, BYU and Houston, women's basketball over at the Marriott Center. Both teams looking for their first Big 12 win. Cougars had 31 turnovers Saturday on the road at 18th-ranked West Virginia, a game they could have won. They only lost by 13, despite giving them the ball 31
times. To a ranked team.
So they got some stuff. They got some. This is a better team than it was in years past, but they're looking for that first Big 12 win. Is this an early must in the name of must wins? Is this an early one for BYU?
Yeah. And I always say, you know, must win. What are we talking about? Must win was World War I and II. That was actual must win. But for this situation, it feels like if BYU is going to contend at all and get into decent postseason position, if they want to make any kind of opportunity for the NCAA tournament, you got to beat a Houston team that has struggled at home tonight. Then Kansas State at home is interesting because that's a very good Wildcat team that BYU almost beat when they were top five last year in Manhattan. So I'm wondering if BYU can summon a better home performance tonight. Take care of the ball, you give yourself a way better chance, obviously.
Hey, Delanie Gibbs, the best player on that team as a freshman, and the same kind of pains.
Yeah.
Greatness and then freshman moments. She had a freshman road trip, right?
12 turnovers is a number that she wants to flush out. She'll never do that again.
So she, like the other outstanding freshman on the men's side, the game's got to slow down a little bit because they have skills to dominate.
Yeah.
We'll see what she does tonight.
Iowa's Caden Wiegen won the Jet Award, which goes to the top return specialist in the country. BYU's Keelan Marion, a finalist for the award. Parker Kingston named to the AP All-Bowl team as a punt returner earlier this morning. Should Keelan Marion or Parker Kingston have won this award?
Well, they're certainly in the mix and should have been in the mix. But Wiegen had a pretty good year. He led in return yards, punting, and kick returning. He had two touchdowns. BYU had two kickoff returns by this guy, Keelan Marion, and two punt returns by Parker Kingston. So did they get snubbed? Probably not with Wiegen. But the conversation moves you right to the idea of next year Marion, Kingston, and Will Farron will be back.
Yeah, baby.
And you can argue that that is the best special teams trio in America.
Watch
and
him take out his mouthpiece right here, by the way. Parker Kingston did it, too, on the Alamo Bowl.
Is it so they can breathe or what?
I think it's so they can yell and just be heard. Oh, crazy. I'm glad Parker Kingston didn't have to run 137 yards on the second return.
Here it is right here. So, I tell you what, punting, kickoffing, and field goal, when those three units are on the field against Portland State in August, it's going to be must-see TV.
Yes, like, it is.
These guys are capable of doing this all the time.
The only thing BYU didn't do on special teams was block a kick.
That's right.
They did everything else.
Come on, Papinga. What's up with that?
There's room for improvement. Who knew? If you combine Keelan Marion and Parker Kingston, Keelan Kingston. Now, that guy.
Now, that would have won the award.
He should have won the award.
He's had four touchdowns.
That's what we're talking about.
John Rothstein reported a few days ago the NCAA is considering allowing 5 years of eligibility for players in all NCAA sports moving forward. Mm. You like that?
I don't know. It's going to mess with all the records, which has been interesting. I like stats. I like numbers.
And COVID already jacked.
It's like, Dillon Gabriel plays like 6 years and he passes up everybody. It's like, well, you didn't play four like these other guys. I don't know. They're just trying to cover themselves for potential lawsuits and eligibility and whatnot. I don't know, man. I don't know if I like that right now.
Yeah. You look at 5 years with NIL money, that's a five-year career. The NFL career average is 4 years. You can have a longer football career in college and then, hey, never even mind the NFL. I can retire as a senior and then go get a regular job where no one's tackling me. But I'll tell you, if there's anyone on a losing streak, it's the NCAA.
Oh.
Those guys got to figure out who their go-to guy is because they just lose and lose. The only thing they got going is they're going to make the tournament because they own the tournament. The NCAA tournament is the NCAA's big thing. Yep. But this is another one where you're just like, the next idea, what's going to be the next idea? You know?
I've been to Indianapolis several times calling rugby games, and I can see from my hotel room the NCAA headquarters there.
Yeah.
And I always think, what's going on in that building, man? They got some hard stuff going on there, man.
Still got the lights on over there?
I think so.
I hope so.
They got enough money.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is back on the air on the BYU TV app and ESPN Plus. Tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern time, the coach and a player sit down with Greg Rubel, live studio audience to talk hoops. And a whole lot more as the Cougars get ready for TCU.
Still to come, Kevin Young's open and forthright interview after the Texas Tech game with Spencer that you need to hear. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We have to be able to, learn from this quickly. This will be a really good opportunity, to lick our wounds and have to go out and do it the hard way on the road.
We need to have a road mentality where nothing distracts us.
BYU at TCU Saturday, trying to snap a two-game losing streak after losing to Houston and Texas Tech. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann in Studio B for your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play on BYU Sports Nation. Last night after the game, Kevin Young spoke with Spencer Linton and addressed where BYU fell short against Texas Tech.
Coach, as you immediately assess this game, where do you feel like you pinpoint where the team fell short tonight?
I mean, really two areas, shot making and defensive execution. You know, we started 1-10 from three. We ended up 12-21 from the free throw line. It's tough to come back from those kind of shooting numbers. And then, you know, even with that being said, you know, had a chance to win at the end, and then defensive execution was poor. You know, we were trying to get the ball out of Williams' hands. He's a good player, but, you know, wish we could have executed that a little bit better.
What were you hoping to accomplish there defensively to try and make things tougher for Williams?
Yeah, just double team, you know, make somebody else beat you. And, you know, we had a, you know, whether it was just having not been in those situations very much or just communication, whatever the case may be, we didn't get it done. And so that's something we got to fix.
I know that you got a bunch of shooters on this team, and it's frustrating to not have those go down. So how do you approach that mentally with your team?
Keep shooting them. You know, I love the way we played offensively for the most part. Thought we had a nice rhythm throughout the course of the game. Attacked their scheme pretty well. And, you know, some nights they don't go in. You know, I thought we did a good job of crashing the offensive glass. You know, still had, you know, had about 18-second chance points, I think. So we tried to overcome it with that. But, you know, those shots will go in for us.
Houston challenged you physically. You challenged your team to step up because you knew Texas Tech was going to bring a similar style of physical play. How did you feel like your team matched up that way?
I mean, we still gave up 14 offensive rebounds. So whether I did think we were more physical, but at the end of the day, you play physical to limit possessions, you know, and they were still able to get quite a few, even though they didn't really hurt us. They only had 7 second chance points, but, it, you know, not securing those rebounds, you know, kind of made it more of a rock fight where we couldn't really get out and transition as much as we would have liked to.
I know you spent some significant time trying to get Dallin and Yegor more comfortable to go back to their instinctual play. How did you feel like they both performed tonight?
You know, more good than bad. You know, I think Dallin had some untimely turnovers that I'm sure he would like to have back. I love the way he came out, you know, his approach, but now we got to be able to sustain it. And then Yegor had that kind of blitz there with, I don't know, a 5 or 6 minute blitz where he just kind of did Yegor things. So, confidence building.
As you turn the page to TCU, what do you take from, albeit very frustrating losses, but back-to-back losses that you feel like you can improve upon and get ready for TCU?
You know, just trying to continue to, you know, execute the game plan. Build on what we did offensively tonight, even though the numbers weren't there from a percentage standpoint, you know, style of play and what we were trying to do. That's definitely something we can carry over. And then defensively, you know, we gotta, again, like I said, we have to execute the game plan better than we did.
Fus Traore seems to be finding a groove down low. He's making his free throws as well. What are you seeing from Fus, and what do you need from him moving forward even more?
Yeah, just continue to be aggressive. You know, we gotta do it. We gotta continue to find him down there. He's really good when teams playing one-on-one. So I think just kind of keeping him in that aggressive mindset.
Coach, what's number one on the agenda list for practice tomorrow?
I think we just got to, you know, watch film with that last, you know, probably 4 or 5 minutes. You know, understand where, you know, games in this league are going to come down to the end. You know, that's how most league play is. And we got to be able to execute on both ends of the floor. Like I said, we had some untimely turnovers coming out of a timeout. And then not being able to get the ball out of their best player's hands. So our young guys and vets alike have to learn from that.
We'll finish with this. This league is obviously a grind. It's brutal. You know it. You've been in the NBA. You've dealt with back-to-backs. And it kind of feels, well, it's not back-to-back. It feels like they just keep coming and there's no break. So what's the key to handling that and being right mentally for TCU?
I do think there is time to sort of decompress. That's one of the things I like about this. You know, you can really dive in to the film. You don't have to immediately turn the page, you know, on this Tuesday, Saturday deal. So we'll have time to right the wrongs from this game. But bottom line, we need to win basketball games. We need to go on a road. We need to, you know, have a road mentality where nothing distracts us from the task at hand. And that's what I'll challenge the guys to do.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck in Fort Worth.
Thank you.
Kevin Young last night with Spencer Linton after the game. I like the fact that he's forthright about it. These things need to happen. We need to play better. We got to execute on defense better. Felt like they didn't double team maybe as much as he was hoping of Darian Williams, who got a lot of ISO at the end of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of like, hey, this guy's guarding him now. Let's all just kind of watch and see what happens.
And it was sort of pick your poison. Like, are you going to just go one-on-one there? Because Darian Williams is a power forward.
Yeah.
BYU doesn't play with a power forward. They play with kind of a small forward at power forward. So it's kind of a mismatch there unless you have Kaba Kater or Foose on him. But they had a five in there. And JT Toppin, who was taken out, by the way, didn't do much. He was a great player. And then Federico was in there. So it's like, who? It's a mismatch. But what right. Mag was trying, do you put Cannon Catchings on him, who didn't play a ton last night, played less than 20 minutes?
It looked like Foose was hesitant to go over and double team because he's got to box out the big guy.
And, the weak side rebound.
And it was like, and
was
it, and
tough last night
stop
at times. Yeah.
But that's their go-to guy. And so that's what they do. And yeah. And then the challenge, as we mentioned earlier, BYU would then go down the floor and go, hey, who's going to shoot? And in crunch time, you just have to know who your guy is or guys.
Typically, the backup center on a team isn't that guy. But for BYU, it's been that guy at times with Foose because he's very experienced. You know what you're going to get from him. He's the highest field goal percent shooting player in BYU history, by the way. So you like your chances in that situation. Yeah.
Maybe you don't bring him off the bench. Maybe you start him and bring Cabe off the bench.
That's one nuance you could start if you wanted.
It just depends. If he's going to be the go-to guy, then the go-to guy should be a guy you go
out
to right at the start.
Yeah.
But if it's one of the other guys, then you can.
I would have no problem with that. Because when Kaba Kata or Foose plays doesn't matter that much to me. Just both need to split those 40, basically. We saw a little bit of a jumbo look with both of them against Houston.
Yeah.
Depends on the matchups on the other side. Late in that game, I think that might have actually worked where you put both those guys in. Okay, challenging schedule in the Big 12, as always.
For everybody. Yeah.
In January. This is what BYU has the rest of January. At TCU Saturday. Look at the KenPom percent win chance in yellow there. Oklahoma State is a game you have to win next Tuesday. At Utah, I would argue, Dave, that's one of the road games you have to win up there. 54% chance. That feels super low to me. It should be like 75. Colorado away, that's a game you have to win too. The Buffaloes have struggled. Cincinnati at home, this is a team that's been ranked the last couple of weeks, got unranked, lost again, and convincingly to Baylor. And then Baylor at home is one of your top three home games.
You don't see any rankings in that run right there.
Winnable games.
Winnable games, games you should compete in. Go on the road and not get hammered. You know, if Colorado beats you, then make Colorado beat you. You know, with a shot at the buzzer or something.
Frankly, Dave,
but don't get run out of the gym.
BYU cannot lose at Utah, at Colorado, and they need to beat Oklahoma State. At TCU, certainly you need to win that game. If you don't, you still have to win the next three. I'm talking if you want to make the NCAA tournament. I don't see how BYU conceivably could not win those three in a row and feel like they have a good chance against Cincinnati and Baylor at home. Like, you have to take care of business against the, again, they're not easy,
right?
But more winnable games in the Big 12 of Oklahoma State at home, at Utah, at Colorado. If you're going to get to like 9, 10, 11 wins, big games coming up in that you have to win.
I say whatever you do in January, the light has to be on in February because then you got games with Kansas and you're going to go on the road, Texas Tech.
Iowa State is the toughest game.
So there's opportunities. With the lights on, you can go contend. You beat some of those guys, it'll forgive you.
Sure.
A lot of mistakes in January, but that light's got to come on.
Yes.
Sooner the better. Saturday, turn it on.
Yes, and BYU's going to have chances here. Like, the easiest three-game set starts next week with BYU. Again, not easy,
right.
Just easiest in the league. So let's see if BYU can get it done. Saturday at TCU becomes an even bigger game.
High noon. Let's hope the lights are on for BYU. Women's basketball back home tonight against Houston. You can see it at 9 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN Plus with Spencer and Kristen. You can listen to it over on BYU Radio with Jason Shepherd. Cougars and Cougars tonight at the Marriott Center.
Coming up, new broadcast rights for men's volleyball, but you can still watch on BYU TV. Don't worry, we'll explain it. And Parker Kingston was named to which postseason list? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the whole day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. We're everywhere.
We're all over the place. Yeah. Welcome back to Studio B, BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jerem. He's Dave. Time for today's headlines.
Men's basketball losing at home last night to Texas Tech, 72-67. Now 1-2 in the Big 12. 10-4 overall. BYU had a 5-point lead with 8 minutes to go, but they went cold and the Red Raiders heated up down the stretch. Cougars shot 21% from the three-point line, 57% from the free throw line. Joe Lunardi currently has BYU in his next four out after last night's game. TCU, Saturday at high noon Mountain Time, 2 Eastern. That's a big one on ESPN2.
I believe the last time BYU played there, Jimmer Fredette was on the squad, so summon that energy. Other scores from across the Big 12, number 3 Iowa State beat Utah 82-59. Arizona upset West Virginia 75-56. I think Arizona's backed in.
They've had
two good wins.
That was a huge one.
They played a tough non-conference. Their record doesn't look great, but they played tough teams. Baylor surprisingly beat Cincinnati by 20. Mm. Wow. Cincinnati was ranked last week. Oklahoma State beat Kansas State. That's a bit of a surprise, 79-66. Tonight's games, Colorado at UCF, Arizona State at number 11, Kansas.
That's going to be interesting. Free-for-all is kind of how I describe the Big 12. Outside of Houston, Iowa State, everything else, any given night.
That's
why we watch. BYU hoops tonight for the women at the Marriott Center against Houston. Both teams 0-3 in the Big 12, looking for that breakthrough win. ESPN Plus, BYU Radio at 9 Eastern tonight.
Parker Kingston named to the AP All-Bowl team as a punt returner after returning 4 punts for 105 yards, including a 64-yard touchdown where he was only really touched by the camera guys in the end zone. Almost tripped over them in BYU's 36-14 convincing win in front of 8 million people, the viewership over Colorado in the Alamo Bowl.
What a night. BYU softball infielder Bree Townsend named to the D1 softball's D1 Freshman 100. That's what they call it. She plays first and third base, not at the same time, but she's that good, she probably could. By the way, softball practice is underway. Spring
yeah.
is here. We haven't even had a giant snow yet, softball practice.
Oh, don't bring that negative snow energy on us unless you're a skier or snowboarder, then
right.
you're like, bring it on. Men's volleyball announced a broadcast update for the 2025 season. The MPSF sold its broadcast rights to Big Ten Network, they call it Big Ten Plus, for the home matches in the MPSF. So all 16 matches will be live on Big Ten Plus. There's a fee you can pay to watch those. With that said, the league is allowing BYU TV to broadcast the games. 8 will be live on BYU TV and or the app. The other 8 will be on demand starting at midnight Eastern after those matches. So Friday night is the first home match at 9 Eastern against D2 school St. Thomas Aquinas. That'll be live on the BYU TV app and Big Ten Plus. If you have any questions about that, just tweet at me. After the break.
I got a lot of questions, so I'm going to tweet you. You'll just have to keep us posted on
yes,
where
I
to
will.
Find it.
I won't respond to you, but I'll just tell you in person. After the break, indoor track record holder Riley Hunt and Coach Kyle Grossarth are in studio. This is BYU Sports Nation. Feels like it's always running season at BYU, right? Run cross country, national championships, indoor track and field going on, outdoor track and field later. This is a running school. I've said it many times. This is a running school.
Yeah.
Among many things.
Except for when you and I were here, we didn't run.
I didn't run, although I did
runs.
Take 55th in 5A in cross country my junior year.
Nice job.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
I'm not proud of it. I didn't even go to practice.
56.
Whatever.
I don't know whatever happened to the life of the one who took 56.
I don't know, but he went to practice. I didn't. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Anyway, it's not about us. We've got some outstanding coaches and athletes on this program all the time. We welcome back to the show Riley Hunt, who is the 110 hurdles record holder. He said that after his interview from last year and Kyle Grossarth, who coaches the sprints, hurdles, and relays. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, and welcome for the first time, Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, and since we talked to you, you set the 110 hurdles record.
I did, yeah.
What was that like?
So exciting. It was, I mean, we set it up really well. It was regionals. I was running pretty good, and then at that meet, everything just clicked. I mean, we were feeling pretty good going into the meet, and then it happened. I didn't even expect it. I thought I was going to run, when I crossed the finish line, I thought it was like a 13.8, which is still a PR, still very good, but... Then when I saw the time pop up, I was like, no way. It was very exciting. Everyone was very happy.
So when you take it to a place where it hasn't been before, and then you come back to run against your own record, how do you beat yourself on that?
I mean, just work harder. I feel like it's that simple. You know, I knew where I was last year, and, you know, I've been getting in the weight room trying to beat those numbers. And first meet in December, I PR'd in the indoor, so sitting off on a good foot, so... Yeah.
So, Kyle, we could beat this again.
We're going to set some more records.
Yeah. There's technical things that we've been working on already to improve. And like you said, he's already beat his indoor PR, so he's well on his way.
Kyle, is there a better time to be a runner at BYU than right now?
Coming off of what cross country did, that's some pretty good momentum for us. So we're excited
to go back to Olympics. I mean, this a runner at BYU for the last few years has been a good runner.
Yeah, the last year was absolutely incredible to see what everybody did at the Olympics and just the seasons that these guys have been putting together. So, yeah, we're super excited for this year.
It's going to be fun to have the BYU Invitational coming up tomorrow through Saturday. What are the hopes and expectations in the Smith Fieldhouse?
I mean, you know, every meet you go into, you want a PR. You know, that's the goal. But I feel like I always run better when I just try and execute what we've been working on. So just the first goal is execute, hope PRs come from it. But, you know, this is when the season really starts. So really hoping everyone brings their all. So it's going to be really fun.
A couple months out from the Big 12 Championships, how's the conference look? Runner-wise.
Conference is always tough. You've got some really good teams in the sprints and hurdles. Texas Tech kind of leads the way as far as that goes.
Too soon after last night, bringing up Texas Tech.
Yeah, I know. That's rough. They have got some really good sprinters and hurdlers. But we're excited with adding in new teams. And it's going to be great competition. And, yeah, just really looking forward to it.
In your last interview, you talked about getting your degree at Cal. They called you the Mormon missile there, which is
they
fun.
They did, yeah.
Second year and final year, I believe, here at BYU.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hoping to kind of finish and accomplish here? You're the record holder now. It sounds like you want to break that again.
Yeah.
I've got indoor and outdoor season to do it.
So hopefully indoor get close to that school record too. So,
where do you sit in the indoor record?
I believe I just went eighth.
Yeah.
Right? Eighth. So okay. I don't have as good of a start as I do in the outdoor. So. Hope break it again.
Is it 60?
Yeah, 60 hurdles.
60 shorter.
Yeah, so basically cuts it in half. So try and break the school record again outdoor.
So Mormon Missile's got his thing. Latter-day Saint Missile, does it sound?
Yeah, not
as Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint Missile.
What do they call you here?
Here, so the men's sprints teams, we play a lot of video games together.
Yeah.
So we all have, you know, names for our, when we play games. And so they call me Chowie. Which isn't as cool as the Mormon Missile, but it's just a name I've had for video games since I was like eight.
What is
Chowie?
That? Chowie.
It was just my dog's name.
Okay.
He's got that dog in you?
I guess so, yeah. It was my dog's name growing up, and when I was trying to play a game, you have to pick a username, right? And my dog was sitting there, so I was like, I'm gonna use his name. So
that's awesome.
So we hear Chowie around the team. We know they're talking.
Yes, the entire team, even a lot of the girls on the team. Everyone but Kyle basically calls me Chowie. Yes. So,
if you set the school record in the indoor, I think I'd call you Chowie.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. That's a deal I got to make with
that's
them.
That's a stretch.
Yeah.
That's quite a transition from missile to Chowie.
I know. It's there's no speed emphasis behind it. But
no.
Awesome.
Kyle, you've coached some great people in your career. Riley included Chris Carter at the U-20 World Championships in 2007. People don't know you even coached Kyle Van Noy in his pre-draft workouts.
I did
back in the day, and now Kyle Van Noy is. Still crushing it in the NFL. What's it like to see him excel?
He's having an amazing season.
Age 33?
Yeah. I keep in touch with him every now and then, and it's incredible to see what he's doing. He's proven that he's just an incredible player, and he's a hard worker, and he's had an amazing career. And to have his career high in sacks this late in his career is
nice. 250K on that last one.
Yeah,
in 10, I think.
Yeah.
Got to beat the Steelers. He could win a third Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, they got a team that can do that. When you think of Van Noy and Riley here, what is it that separates the good athlete from the really really good athlete that we're talking about years later?
So I think the coachability, wanting to learn and to improve. And kind of being a student of your sport, studying from others and taking that experience and then being really intentional with what they're doing. One thing I've noticed with Riley this year is he's been super intentional in everything that he's done. And there's just kind of that extra little 1%. We talk about 1% all the time with our team, doing that 1% extra in everything that you do. And I've really seen that with what Riley's done this year.
When we're talking about tenths and hundredths in terms of improvement,
yeah.
How do you sort of, it's easy to quantify that way, but like, hey, run faster, do that. Like, what are we talking about specifically, like the different checks you're going through mentally to like, okay, I have to execute this to be my best?
So it's a little easier in the hurdles because there's a lot more form and like technicality in it than like the open sprint. So, you know, it starts out in the blocks, got to have a good push out of the blocks, and, you know, hurdle well. One thing we've been working on is getting my hips up. I'm pretty short for a hurdler. Most of them are well over 6 foot. I'm only 5'11". So for me, I really got to raise myself up to get over. I mean, they're 42 inches. It reaches my belly button. So I really got to raise my body and my legs up, get my hips up, and get over the hurdles. And then after that, it's just keep doing that all 10 hurdles, continue to press, not slow down, not take off, you know, take your foot off the gas pedal, which happens sometimes. I'll be focusing so hard on the first hurdle because that's, like I said, I don't really have a good start. My first hurdle is the worst. Then when I do have a good first hurdle, I go, that was pretty good. And then the next two or three hurdles, I'm thinking about that first hurdle that I accidentally slowed down a little and then got to get back into it. So it's all just remembering, you know, all the cues that we have at practice, that good start, hitting that first hurdle well, and then continuing to push through every other hurdle after that.
Well, Kyle, we've asked Ed Eystone and Diljit Taylor the same question, so we'll throw it to you. At what point as a coach do you just stop saying, run faster to these guys to get them to get to that extra thing? Because that's the natural thing, right? Just run faster.
Yeah. So I mean, at practice, obviously, there's different things that we're working on constantly. At the meet, I'm very different than them in the fact that, I mean, he runs for under 8 seconds, right? And the events that I coach are under a minute. And so there's not a whole lot I can do. I pretty much get them ready, send them on their way, and say, all right, it's up to you. Let's get it done.
He's very hands-off meet day. Yeah. He's there, but doesn't say much, especially before. He's very just watching. So,
stoic.
Yeah, very, very.
See, if you're Ed or Diljit, you're at the starting line, and then you got to run to a different spot.
No.
Under a minute, you just kind of plant yourself at the finish line.
Exactly. He's our cameraman.
Exactly.
He films for us. Hey, well, and then comes gets us after.
What you're doing is working, so nice job.
I'm trying.
Well, best of luck at the BYU Invitational Thursday through Saturday in the field house. If fans want to watch, they can come, which would be great. Best of luck on the pursuit of the record.
Thank you.
Kyle, great job. First time in the studio, man.
Awesome, thank you.
I'm sorry it took until now.
That's all right.
You've been awesome, man. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, you can check out every interview on the show, Deep Blues, on-demand stuff, all the Spencer Linton you could ever want. It's on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com. Coming up after the break, we'll put a bow on today's show with our elite voice and rise and shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps or listen to the podcast and subscribe, rate, and review the show, please.
Appreciate a bunch of you reaching out yesterday. Hey, we want to watch the show. Yep, we're getting that fixed. Don't worry. At N8Ricks on X, in response to the biggest takeaway from BYU's loss to Texas Tech last night. This team has a lot of room for improvement. Lack of them playing together for the first month plus of the season has caused a lot of issues we are seeing. They need time to gel. Do we feel like if, Yegor and Dallin were hurt at all, they'd be way further down the road? Probably.
They'd have more time together, right? I think time's the thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that would have fixed it, but that's sports, right? One was in, one was out, the other was back, the other was out.
And now the competition's high in the Big 12.
Yeah.
At Jay Bickman on X, Yegor being out for almost a month killed his progress. It's really affected his shooting, notably, recently. It hasn't affected his assist numbers. Those have been up, actually. And the team's progress as well. It's going to take another few weeks for them to start clicking. Hopefully they can rack up some wins the next couple of weeks while they figure this out. And like we talked about, one of the better stretches for wins is coming up starting next week, where BYU needs to probably have a 3-game win streak. Our elite voice today is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at DStot50 on X. I liked how Yegor was aggressive at the end. I think the team needs it. Seems like we're playing tentative and guys need to play free and just attack. That was a big storyline from Kevin Young on Monday is, hey, less looking at me for a play call and more get into a flow or a set that works for us and in transition get up and down. I thought they played more free last night. They just didn't hit enough threes and free throws.
Yeah, Timo Saarelainen told me the difference between the foreign game and the American game is speed. And that's what's bothered Yegor the most. Passing lanes are shorter and condensed now. Shots aren't open like they used to be. Everything just seems to be rough. Yeah. As he works through that in time, that light goes on, he'll be just what they thought they were getting.
Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Parker Kingston, named to the AP All-Bowl team as a punt returner. Man, he's going to be running fast next year.
Back next year.
Later this year.
That's right.
How about that?
Well, thanks to today's guests, Riley Hunt, Kyle Grossart. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Bart Jepson. Go Cougs! Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow on BYU Sports Nation.